Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 31. This is the episode of Samson with Delilah. And when we study this passage, we want you to keep in mind this topic: what Samson lost with Delilah. What Samson lost with Delilah. Now, as we go through this passage of Scripture, keep that in mind. We're going to read it so that we can make comments on a few things that may be of interest to you. But then we're going to go right into the topic, which really concerns the latter part of the chapter. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs, a width is a flexible, slender twig used as bond or rope." Okay? "Green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson," and he brake the withs as a thread of tow, T-O-W, the short fibers of hackled flax or hemp, ready for spinning. Like a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." The web is the textile fabric, especially one that's on a loom, okay? "And she fastened it with the pin." So it's on the loom, fastened it with the pin, so it's very heavy. "Said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me?" Of course, that's a very funny thing for her to say, because her heart's not with him. She's about to make 1,100 pieces of silver. "Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man." Do you notice he said, "I have been a Nazarite unto God"? Suddenly now, some supernatural element is exposed regarding his strength. Delilah knows it. Verse 18, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand." She knew now this was the time for the payoff. In the times before, that wasn't the case, but this time she knows. Verse 19, "She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Of course, that's not true. Delilah did, and the money got that job done. Verse 24, "And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.'" That is, to divert or amuse or make merry. "And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women." Remember, all the lords were there. "They beheld while Samson made sport, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.' Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Well, you know, now all the lords of the Philistines died in that thing. So it was a huge victory for Israel and a huge loss for the Philistines. Now, Samson, summarizing what you've read here, Samson fell in love with Delilah. All right, that's number three. He'd gone in there and had his wife. He went in there and had that harlot. Now he's got Delilah. Three times he had trouble with women down with the Philistines, and supposedly third time is the charm, and in this case, not. She enticed him to tell her the source of his strength so the Philistines could take his strength away from him and then defeat him. And when she succeeded in getting to the truth, he lost some things. He lost some things, as you might imagine. In this passage of Scripture, we saw here, first of all, in verse 17, that he lost his strength. Let's go back and look at it. Judges chapter 16, verse 17, "He told her all his heart, and said unto her, 'There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then all the strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the Philistines, right? They came with the money. Verse 19, "She made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the head, the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." He lost his strength. He lost his strength. Listen, he had taken the vow of a Nazarite. Actually, this was something that was taken for him by his mother from his mother's womb. His strength came from God. But you know, he had defiled his Nazarite vow along the way by coming in contact with those dead bodies. And when he violated that vow, the thing he was supposed to do is go back and make an offering, shave his head, and then resume his vow. He never did it. So a haircut was something that was coming. And he finally got it. The Lord made sure of that. And when his hair went, so did his strength. Now, his strength was not tied to his hair. You'd think by watching modern athletes, right, that they think their strength is tied to their hair, the way they're in style these days. But truly, his strength was, in a sense, tied to his hair. But what really happened is that when he had the hair shaved, he was no longer within that vow of the Nazarite. And God, you see, took that strength from him at that time. And he lost that. Do you know there are men who lose the strength of their manhood when they marry a woman? A lot of men do. I was laughing about that the other day. Somebody was talking about a fellow they saw, about 6'4", weighed about 250 at least, big fella, married to a tiny woman, 5'2", and very slender, very petite. And she had him wrapped around her finger. Now, he may be able to boss other people around, but she was his boss. It kind of reminds me of something I read in a book just the other day. And the fellow said to his wife, and I'm not sure this was original with him, but he said to his wife, he said, "Honey, when we marry, the only condition is that if we have major decisions to make, I'll make those. And if we have minor decisions to make, then you can make those." And he told somebody else, he said, "Ever since we've been married, there have never been any major decisions." You know who's running that household, right? Anyway, the point is that when Samson divulged his heart and spoke of that Nazarite vow, he lost his strength. He gave that up to be with this woman. And I'll tell you something. If you as a man have to give up your strength in order to be with the woman that you have lusted after, that you think you call love, may I tell you something? That's probably going to be a relationship where there are other things you're going to lose along the way. And if I were you, if you're not married yet, I would seriously consider that loss before you dive in. He lost his strength. But that's not all he lost. He lost his Lord. Look in verse 20. She said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." He awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, this is a very complicated thing in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Lord could be on a man and then he could be off the man. In other words, a man in the Old Testament could lose his salvation when the Lord left him. And we're going to look at some cases today about that to give you an idea of what went on here with Samson. But at this point, the Lord was departed from him. And that's very important to remember. It didn't say that, you know, he wasn't filled with the Spirit or something like that. It said the Lord was departed from him. Now, we'll look at the cases of three people. We'll look at Saul and David and Samson and just make some comparisons. Now, these are kinds of things about which we've spoken before, and we want you to see them again. Now, look in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, and notice Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. Notice the Bible says that. We know from reading the Scripture that David had what was called the sure mercies of David. David is an example of the Old Testament of a man who had salvation and did not lose it. He's an example in the Old Testament of eternal security, something that we have in the New Testament because we have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and our sins of our flesh have been circumcised away from our soul, and we have been put into the body of Christ, and we've been raised together and seated together with him in heavenly places. I gave you 1 Corinthians 12:13 there, Ephesians 5:30, and Ephesians 2:6. David is our picture in the Old Testament of a man who has his salvation and can't lose it, even though he committed a sin, adultery, and another sin, murder, for which there was no sacrifice and for which men would die without salvation. But David got through it. All right, so David had the Spirit of the Lord on him from that day forward. But notice in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And later on, when the Lord is talking to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, he talks about not taking his spirit away from Solomon when Solomon takes the throne, as he took it away from Saul who was before him. Actually, he talks about the mercy, taking the mercy away. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 15. When the throne of David is being established by the Lord, the Lord says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15, "My mercy shall not depart away from him," speaking of his seed, "as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee." So God not only took his spirit away from him, he took his mercy away from him. So here, in this case, in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, when the Lord departed from him, he lost his salvation. All right? David put himself in jeopardy of losing his salvation, but in his prayer in Psalm 51, he prayed that the Lord would not take his Holy Spirit away from David, and God didn't do it. He says, David says in Psalm 51, verse 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And this is what happened after he got confronted by Nathan about what he did with Bathsheba. Okay? take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And the Lord didn't take his Spirit away from him. Now, I know that may seem a little bit strange to you, but a lot of these things that we enjoy in the New Testament are things that were typified in the Old Testament, and you'll find exceptions to rules there, and David is one of those exceptions. The Spirit of God came on David and stayed, but he came on Saul and left. Here he came on Samson and left, and then we find back here in verse 28 that he comes back on him again. Samson prays and asks the Lord to strengthen him again so he can be avenged of the Philistines for his two eyes, and since the Lord used him to judge the Philistines, he came back on him. A very interesting thing going on there in the Old Testament. I'll tell you, it was a great loss for Samson. He lost his strength and he lost his Lord. That's not all. He lost his eyes. Judges chapter 16, look at verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Ooh. You know, his eyes were the things that got him in trouble. Those had been trouble for him from the beginning. Once he got into adulthood, Judges chapter 14, when he went down to Timnath, watch it, he saw a woman. And then later he talks to his parents and he says, I have seen a woman in Timnath. That's there in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. All right. When he goes back to Gaza there and he's looking for a lady, in Judges chapter 16, verse 1, he saw an harlot, okay? And then here he sees Delilah, and he falls in love with her. And you know what? Those Philistines, in exercising some judgment against him, put his eyes out. And may I tell you something? That is like a reaping of what you've sown. You know, that's true. The Bible says, "Be not mocked." God is not mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He had been sowing with those eyes for a long time. Lord, just put them out. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, this is the way the Lord deals with men. I'm not saying that at every evil consequence that has come to you is the result of some heinous sin that you've done in your life. A lot of times there are bad things that happen to you, and you may scratch your head and say, why is this happening? I'll say this, it is true that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And a lot of times the Lord will use suffering in your life to reward you later. He'll use suffering in your life to magnify his grace, to turn your attention to him. Sometimes, but not always, it is the result of some sin you've been doing in your life, and this is the way he's going to finally put it to bed. And in Samson's case, you know what? The Lord put his eyes out and said, at least now we're not going to have trouble with his eyes anymore. He's not going to be chasing after these women anymore, being enticed anymore. Of course, he was locked up. Very likely he wasn't going to do that, but that was the end of his romantic days. He lost his strength with Delilah. He lost his Lord with Delilah. He lost his eyes with Delilah. You might ask yourself the question, was it worth it? I don't think so. But you know what? A lot of men have lost a lot of things. A lot of things because, including their lives sometimes, because they had hooked up with the wrong woman. And certainly that was the case here with Samson. Not only did he lose his strength and his Lord and his eyes, but he also lost his testimony. You see, Samson had this great reputation for being able to do these supernatural things, and really and truly the Philistines didn't know the source. When he finally confessed to Delilah his source was in his hair, he did include God. I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Well, he lost his strength. You know what? The Philistines then attributed the victory they had over him to their God. Verses 23 and 24, Judges chapter 16, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. That's not true. Their money and Delilah's vexation finally resulted in his confession, and then they took his hair off, and that did it. Their God didn't deliver Samson, their enemy, into their hand. When the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Now that right there is going to get God's angst for sure. But the truth of the matter is, now Samson no longer has any testimony that his supernatural strength comes from his God. And the fact that he has no testimony that his supernatural strength came from his God. When he lost it, the heathen attributed his defeat to the supernatural strength of their God, which some of them knew wasn't true, but in their superstition, they honored their God. And that's really the way it is with people. I was talking to someone just the other day, and they were having some good fortune in their lives and had had repeated occurrences of good fortune in their lives. And so, you know what they said? We attribute this to our prayers to Mary. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean this to be rude, but I want you to be right about this. The Bible never attributes any supernatural intercessory work to Mary. Mary, right now, her body is in the grave. There was no assumption of Mary. That's a later doctrine. That happened in the 1950s. There's no intercessory power of Mary. Okay? None whatsoever. That is the tradition of man. This good fortune that has happened, though, has been attributed to her, and consequently there is a connection that they don't want to break. That's what was going on here with these lords of the Philistines. They attributed the favor that they had against Samson to Dagon so that they could continue to honor their God, because they figured all of their good fortune came from him. Well, I wonder what was said after the house came down. Huh? What about that, see? Well, he lost his testimony. Now Dagon is elevated. And I'll tell you something, honestly, Christians. When you slip up, you've been talking about all these great things God's done for you, and then you slip up, you lose your testimony, and people no longer attribute those great accomplishments in your life to the supernatural strength of God, because they know that God doesn't make mistakes, and they know that God doesn't slip up. So suddenly they say, well, we're going to attribute our ability to get off alcohol to God as we understand him, even if we think God may be that doorknob over there. Because your God obviously didn't do anything for you. You're right back in the same shape that we're in. And when you lose that kind of testimony, you promote the testimony of the false gods. Be careful. You know what Samson lost with Delilah? He lost his testimony, but that's not all. He lost his life. They bring Samson in there to make them sport, that is, to divert them in amusement and to make merry over his, being down there and this great victory they've had over him. And then eventually he prays to God, O Lord God, in verse 28, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. So he grabs hold of the pillars, and then Samson said in verse 30, let me die with the Philistines. Ultimately, this was suicide. That's right. He said, let me die with the Philistines. Doesn't have his eyes. He's trying to take them out. He knows if he pulls the house down, he's going to die. It's going to crush him when it kills them. But he's satisfied to do it. There's 3,000 of them up there. And the Bible says when he did, the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. But he lost his life. That was the end of it. And that all happened because of messing around with Delilah. You know, it's a funny thing, but if you go back to Judges chapter 15, verse 20, his epitaph is written before his death. He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And then 16 opens, and there's Delilah. Ordinarily, whenever you find out about the length of the reign of a king or the length of the time of the judgment of a man, it happens after he dies. This thing was written beforehand. Why? Because once he got hooked up with Delilah, he was going to lose his life, and in fact, he did. Now, people say, yes, in fact, this was a suicide. He even asked God, let me die with the Philistines. And you know the treatment by some people of a suicide. I've had people call me before and they said, listen, we've had a suicide in our family. We're very distressed. We think that our son or our daughter was saved, but we're not sure. And now we don't really know what to believe because we're afraid that our son or our daughter is not in heaven. And they'll ask me, is there a biblical explanation? And the answer is, yes, there is. Now, I don't want to bring up something that's very sad news about a suicide that may have taken place in your family, but if you have not found comfort yet as to the condition of their soul, I'm going to show you a very, very important verse of Scripture. First of all, get it one more time. In verse 30 of Judges chapter 16, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. All right? That is suicide. All right? Now, you go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32, and I want you to see something. In Hebrews chapter 11, you are dealing with a cloud of witnesses of faith in God Almighty. These are the heroes of the faith. You've got in this chapter Abel, and you've got Abraham, and you've got Enoch, and you've got Sarah, and you've got Noah, okay? And you've got Moses, and you've got Jacob. You've got all these men of faith in here, okay? You've got the faith of Rahab. Her whole household survived the crushing of the walls in Jericho. And then in verse 32, you've got the faith of Gideon, Barak, and watch it, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel. Samson is mentioned with David and Samuel and Gideon as a hero of the faith. You know what that tells you? That when the Lord came back on him and strengthened him after having departed from him in verse 20, he stayed, and Samson is reckoned with those that are in faith. You'll see him in heaven. He lost his life, but he didn't lose his salvation. He probably died without reward for some of the things that he did, but he didn't die without the Lord. And I'll say to you that if you had a loved one that was saved, honestly saved, truly had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior, there's some expense at the judgment seat of Christ, no doubt. There's some loss of blessing and loss of reward, no doubt, but there's not loss of salvation. Because once you are saved and in Christ, you're saved and in Christ. In the New Testament, you are eternally secure. So Samson lost a lot with Delilah. Be careful. Be careful. There's a lot to be lost with the wrong woman. Okay?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.